you're here. Fellowship sweeter, knowing you're near. It's so good to see you. I hope that it's fair. Everyone loves you.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It is Wednesday, November 18th, 2020. Being Wednesday, it's the Prime Life Times in Review. Joining me in the studio are two dear friends. And you know, with it being Wednesday, our editor-in-chief, Marianne Simpkins,
Hello.
Joins us. Hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone.
In fact, I got a letter I got to show to you.
Oh, thanks
from
for
a
just
listener.
Announcing it on the air
yeah,
before
that's
you
right.
show it to me. Go ahead, though.
I'm not making any new decisions
okay,
yet.
Okay, okay.
But they said, Marianne's sweet voice
Aww.
And encouraging words. She was highlighting what she appreciates about the station, and so I haven't passed that one on to you. But
thank you. Thank you, Melissa. I don't know Melissa who, but thank
no,
you.
No, it's not. Did I say Melissa?
I thought you did.
A listener.
Oh,
listener.
A listener.
Yeah. So
thank you, listener.
Listener.
Now I really don't know who said that, but I deeply appreciate
yes.
it.
Yes. And also joining us in the studio is Jennifer Garan, and she's been a content contributor to our beloved Prime Lifetimes paper. These, I guess, just this year so far, two articles, second article, also involved with the Great News Radio Theater Troupe and has volunteered with the station, supported the station, been an integral part. I guess we've known each other for, I don't know, a lot of years, actually. Attend the Madison Avenue Free Methodist Church together, hobnobbed around other Christian activities or events, and I think because your theater and drama background. Oh, you were part of the English conversation classes for a period of time, and you've done some things for Great News Media, for Great News Radio, where you presented to the international students, and I think a couple other venues where you use your gift of drama. It seemed like you also coached or assisted with the Great News Radio Theater Troupe. I won't say as a consultant, but you gave ideas and thoughts, and with your drama background and your gifts in that. You've also given us resources. I know you gave me a number of books and scripts and other materials. I guess you've been on all around involved with the radio ministry. So,
well, Jennifer is a very talented person.
Yeah, multi-gifted, and she's going to read her story today. Now, don't tune off when you hear the title of
mm-hmm.
this. Don't be afraid. Don't be fearful, but it's entitled The Play and the Plague.
Yep, The Play and the Plague by Jennifer Garan. It's a very... I'll just speak for myself. I found it very touching. Okay, so read for us, Jennifer.
Today was the day that my cousin Cindy and I were going to meet at O'Hare Airport in Chicago to participate in a Rhodes Scholar trip to Oberammergau, Germany. The main reason for the trip was to experience the Passion Play, a theatrical reenactment of the Passion story of Jesus Christ, performed once every 10 years. It is something I have waited years to do, and I had been looking forward with great enthusiasm to attending. But then, COVID-19, worldwide pandemic, the corona pandemic, a plague. The play was canceled for 2020 and rescheduled for 2022. My cousin and I both agreed that 2022 was too far in the future to make a commitment. Alas, we can make our plans, but the Lord determines our steps. I first learned about this spectacular Passion Play when I accompanied my husband Bill on a business trip to Munich, Germany in 2008. Having earned a BFA in theater and having made theater my part-time career, I was drawn to a set of postcards in a tourist information office. They were titled Passion Spiel, Oberammergau, 2000. The cards featured stunning photographs of a staged production involving hundreds of actors and magnificent sets. To my surprise, the cards were free because they were left over from the event from almost a decade earlier. Mm. I took two packets. Over the ensuing years, I would periodically revisit the images on those postcards, wondering whether I would ever get the chance to actually attend the event in person. In March of 2015, my husband passed away from lymphoma. The second year of mourning this loss was especially difficult, and I found myself doing and planning things that would give me something to look forward to, things from which hope would more easily spring. It was while perusing various travel sites that I happened on the upcoming Passion Play scheduled for 2020. Why not? I called my cousin and we signed up. For me, one of the most intriguing aspects of this play is the reason the play exists at all. You see, it was a plague that birthed this play. In 1632, the village of Oberammergau, Germany, became infested with the bubonic plague, also commonly referred to as the Black Death. This plague was the deadliest pandemic recorded in human history, and it greatly reduced the world population. In Europe alone, it is estimated to have killed 30 to 60% of inhabitants. How did the people of the town of Oberammergau respond? In 1633, they earnestly sought the mercy of God and vowed if he would save them from destruction by this plague, that they would honor him by staging a play of the Passion of Christ every 10 years. As legend has it, after the village entreated God and offered that vow, the death rate dramatically declined, the afflicted recovered, and the town was spared further cases of the plague.
Now, Marion, did you know that about this plague?
Not till I read this.
Wow, I didn't know that either.
No, it's a fascinating story.
Yeah, everyone knows about the plague. I mean, it's world known, but interesting.
In 1634, the villagers performed their first Passion Play. It was staged at the town's cemetery above the graves of those who had lost their lives to the plague. Since that time, the villagers of Oberammergau, Germany, have faithfully performed the play of the suffering, dying, and resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Unless, of course, there's another plague. Or a war. The 1940 play was canceled during World War II. I also learned through my research that the script has gone through multiple revisions, reflecting the sensitivities and changes of time and culture. The play is no longer staged at the local cemetery, but rather takes place in an open-air setting on an expansive stage. There are multiple presentations throughout the warmer months, and this largest and longest-running Passion Play in the world attracts more than 500,000 visitors in a year when it is held. The part of this story that continues to occupy my mind and hold my heart is the response of an entire village that turned to God and as one body in unity petitioned him for protection. They promised to spread the gospel of love and salvation in response to his answering their desperate plea. Believing he answered, they did just that. To this day, the world is reaping the benefits of the greatest story ever told.
Wow. Byline, Jennifer Goran is a retired drama and speech teacher. She still hopes to do some traveling, if and when it is once again safe. In the meantime, she's enjoying writing nonfiction and poetry. Jennifer, that is such an important story. Thank you.
You know, I'm also thinking some of you that are listening along, you're thinking, that voice is more familiar than I understand. Well, Jennifer and you have done those scripture moment spots.
Yeah,
and
heard
so
one just the other
time
day.
To time, you might hear Jennifer or Marianne, or most of the times they're both, you'll hear both of their voices, and it'll end with, this is a scripture moment from Great News Radio or something along those lines, but you might be familiar with her voice. So this has been going on since basically 1634
or 1632.
Well, the
first
every 10
play
years?
Was 1634.
Oh, okay.
The plague hit in 32. Yeah.
Wow.
All those years.
And, I know. In the middle of such a horrific, the bubonic plague, the Black Death was horrifying. They chose to do this. Wow. If it was their response to God hearing their prayer. Mm-hmm. It's amazing.
And I've heard sometimes this is booked 10 years, 20 years in advance. I mean, the sellouts year after year. So you were actually going to go or had hoped to go?
Yes. We
still hope to go.
Yeah, well, who knows what's going to happen next.
That's
but
right.
I mean, it was something that when I was there the first time, I thought, oh, I would love to see that.
Yeah.
And then I just happened upon it.
And I thought, well, what's keeping me from doing this?
Yeah.
And something did.
Yeah, it did.
So will it be rescheduled in 10 years?
No.
Or they don't know what
they're
going to do?
What they did was they said, we can keep you on the schedule. We're not even going to do it in 2021. Mm. We're going to do it in 2022.
Okay.
And they offered, you know, some kind of a discount
yeah.
if you would stay on. But 2 years ahead of time is just
yeah.
too long for me to...
know what you're going to be doing.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
So.
You know, my oldest daughter went to Germany, and she went to this area, the Bavaria. Mm-hmm. Spent some days there in time and mm-hmm. looking around and going to different cities. It's just gorgeous.
It's beautiful. Yeah.
It's outstanding.
Yeah, it really is.
And there's so many churches there that mm-hmm. are architecturally just everywhere. I mean, it's so beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, she really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
And it's kind of interesting how they followed maybe a biblical pattern many times when things were happening throughout the Old Testament, but when the people turned to God and he relented, or, you know, a prophet was risen up and they repented and, you know, God then continued to bless them,
mm-hmm.
or, you know, when they were taken captive and they
right.
knew that there would be a period of time or a period of punishment,
right.
and after the 70 years or so many years, then they would return to the land. And
they made a marker. These people made a marker in time for their response to God's answer. And, you know, that is in the Bible. Like, here I raise my Ebenezer.
Yeah.
You know, it's like a marker. God did this. And I think if we could do that more in our lives, we would have those markers and even just write them down. Every time you think God's heard your prayer, answered it, so you can look back and have that ongoing marker. This happened. God heard me. Because we forget.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, what a testimony from the 1600s.
I
can't think of anything that has reoccurred or been
yeah.
for so many years.
Well, they
years,
made a promise
centuries.
That they would do it,
yeah.
and they did.
That's
wow.
amazing.
Mm-hmm. Their children, too. I mean,
mm-hmm.
this is ongoing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Wow, I know. Makes me think.
And that article that you just heard read is in this month's edition of the Prime Lifetimes, the November edition, available at just about 350 area locations. So if you wonder, is there a place I can pick it up? It's free of charge. You can stop by primelifetimes.com, primelifetimes.com, and under the distribution tab, you'll see all the locations designated by city and then alphabetized. And then we even have so many locations in Indiana. We have an Illinois section and an Indiana section. So
yeah.
if you live in and around central Illinois or west central Indiana, you can pick up a free copy, or you can also subscribe. In
yeah.
fact, some people have done that for Christmas gifts.
Yeah,
they've
that's
already
a great Christmas gift.
Contacted us and said, hey, can this start in December as a Christmas gift for someone? It's $30, and that basically pays for the first class postage. So as soon as they arrive from the printer, we mail them out in a nice envelope to whatever location, to your home or business.
Mm-hmm.
Or if you want to send it to a friend, just give us their address. And you can conveniently pay for that online with your credit card or mail in a check, and you can find out more at primelifetimes.com, primelifetimes.com, under the subscription tab.
And if you don't want them to know what your present is early, you can start in January.
Yeah, yeah.
Your subscription could be for the whole year of 2021.
Or we could hold off on mailing it
yeah,
till like
January.
Mid-December,
yeah, something
so they
like
get
that.
The December edition as
True.
Their Christmas gift, because it'll be loaded. I know you're working on it now,
yeah.
Marianne, with a Christmas theme and
yeah.
a holiday theme, and even some of the puzzles or comics or the other things.
Yeah.
I'm sure there'll be some holiday recipes and
oh yeah,
other
Betty's got that covered.
Very timely. So
you bet.
Yeah,
yeah, I think it'd make a nice gift. You know, one of those last all year long gifts.
Yeah, you get some good currency out of it because they'll get it each and every month and think, what a unique special Christmas gift. So primelifetimes.com.
You will recognize the November edition by the front page. Giving Thanks by Jim Russell. And we also have an article in here, Thank You to Heroes, to our caring heroes. I think as we end 2020 and hopefully we have a vaccine,
yeah.
hopefully, that we do need to look back and think about what happened. You know, I saw a program the other night that was so intriguing because, I mean, it made me cry because I'd forgotten some things. And you'd like, how can you forget 2020? But this program, they started with people learning about COVID and the different things that happened. And the guy walks out of his house and there's an animal in the street. And I thought, oh, that's right. All those pictures of those animals that came down from the woods and were in the streets, like in Europe especially, you know, and how the quiet and the smog was gone over L.A., all that happened that I kind of hadn't thought about for a while. And I thought, you know, the one thing we want to do as the year ends and goes forward is thank these medical heroes.
Yeah, I thought also you were going to maybe infer, or the lessons learned were, yes, as bad as 2020 has been for most everyone. I mean, there are some businesses or situations where people prospered, but I think we can also forget, or because COVID and the election and other things have so overshadowed everything, mm-hmm. we forget just the daily things to be thankful yeah. for, that many of us still have jobs or are able to meet with family, or just some of the successes. I mean, there's people that have written books. There's yeah. people that have written songs.
Oh, which I'd
people
written another book. Yeah.
That there are a lot of wonderful things that have gone on, but I think because there's been so much negativity or mm-hmm. legitimate
and
crisis
oh,
and
yeah.
heartache that you can forget. And I know how many times David, you know, by the time he works through the Psalms, yet Saul is chasing after him, his life is in jeopardy, you know, his children have turned on him, you know, why, O Lord, my mother and father have forsaken mm-hmm. me. But by the end of it, maybe God's helped him come to that realization. Hey, David, there are a number of good things that are still going on. You have a new day. My mercies are new every morning. You know, I still extend love and care and compassion to the world. Yes, there are many things to gripe about or moan over, but ultimately, we have a sovereign, loving God that's still working and active and bringing healing and hope.
One thing I think that's especially hard about this whole COVID situation we've had is the huge, I don't want to use the word discrepancy, but variation in how it's affected people. You know, some people have faced horrifying mm-hmm. life and death decisions. They've lost loved ones, terrible disease, terrible things have happened. They've lost their income, their jobs. I mean, you just can't make light of that in any
yeah.
way.
Yeah.
Other people have had fun and times and games with their family and got to spend more time with their pets and got to hang out in their PJs and work from home, you know, different things that is totally, it's hard to even know how to talk about it because of this huge differentiation.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I don't want to minimize the pain and the suffering
yeah.
because that's legitimate.
Yes,
and
it is.
Even the anguish that people are feeling, even the anger, or even why God, I think God handles mm-hmm. that very well. I think he wants us to exhibit a full range of emotions. But I think we also have to come to terms with the fact that God is sovereign. He is good. He is working through these things. And even in the midst of our heartache or mm-hmm. the pain or the suffering, he is still good and deserves to be worshipped and honored. And maybe if we can just recalibrate our minds to say, yes, it's been a rough year, but we serve a great God. And I think hopefully that will get us through and, you know, look forward to what he's going to do in the new year.
Something happened the other day for me that kind of put something in perspective, because, you know, it's so easy to complain about this and that you can't get from the store and this and that can't go where you want and do what you want half the time. And Daryl Kennedy was talking, and I hope he doesn't mind me sharing this, but he said that his mother passed away this year, and he said he was going through her things, and he had had some of those feelings of, oh, why can't we do this and do that, and about, you know, and he opened up this box that she had of mementos, and inside were war ration cards. And he thought, oh, that puts things a little in perspective about not being able to go to the store. They could only get so much gas and so much milk and so much of this and so much of that. And it's like our ancestors, our generation just still alive, some of them right before us, have gone through pretty tough times.
Yeah, what is that Bible verse like, there's nothing new under the sun?
Apparently
I mean,
not.
When we start to gripe or complain, realizing that people have suffered, even this article, that bubonic plague.
No.
I mean, this isn't the first time there's been inconvenience or plagues or people dying. And, you know, with the technology, I think we've become so comfortable or maybe complacent that we just expect everything to work out and be wonderful. And the reality is this is a sin sin-wrought world, and there is heartache and suffering and pain and loss. But again, I think we have to just remember we serve a great, good God.
Yes, that, we do.
And we have an eternity to make up for whatever pain or suffering we may be experiencing this day, this week, this year. And again, I think when we can grapple with God's goodness and His sovereignty and His care, and we're not suffering alone either. He loves or delights to come alongside us and bring healing and hope and work through the tragedy and then even equip us. I know, Jenny, I could probably speak for you that He's taken you through some things so that you could minister and help and assist others through similar trauma or pain or suffering. So nothing gets wasted, and we just got to be mindful that, you know, whatever we're going through, maybe it will equip us to bring hope and healing and comfort to someone else.
And one thing I really like about your article, Jennifer, is it really just, again, points out that important thing to make markers, put our Ebenezer down. These people really did something very concrete to say thank you, and we won't forget how you heard our prayers. Mm-hmm. I really like it.
And I'm thinking with Christmas around the corner, and everyone knows that word Ebenezer, Ebenezer Scrooge, you might want to just clarify.
Oh, well, how in the world, what a funny connection, but
that,
yes.
But that Ebenezer, that is a biblical term, and it's, I can't remember, it's when they put the rocks together, and
here I put my Ebenezer,
yeah,
it's a marker.
Yeah, it's a,
mm-hmm.
It stands for not putting your finger in the sand, but it's just like a foundational stone. There's a biblical, I forget,
yeah.
I love what exactly Ebenezer means.
Well, it's also
kind of
like when Jacob saw the angels going up and down the ladder in his dream, and it changed his whole life. He says it did. It changed his life. And he said, I will return to this spot. And he put that stone in the ground.
Yeah.
And he said, this is my marker. I will come back here because I saw God here.
Ebenezer, that's the word for the day, everyone.
I don't know if the Ebenezer stone, but he did that.
Yeah, that's, I know somewhere.
We should have looked that up if we knew we were going to talk about it.
That word. It's like.
Yeah, it does.
It's like manna. You know, I told you, what is it? You know, or the candy bar, whatchamacallit. You know, it's like Ebenezer has that same
word. You do have a way of words.
Yeah, that's right. Ebenezer, everyone, let's put those markers down.
The whatchamacallit candy bar. Oh, gosh.
That's, remember how God provides that manna that He gives to all of us, and how He wants to work in and through us this very day. So thank you, Jennifer, for this article. It's in the November edition of the Prime Lifetimes. Read it online or at one of the 350 locations. Pick up your free edition. Find out more at primelifetimes.com. Well, thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of our radio listening family. This is Mark Burns, Marianne Simpkins, and Jennifer Guerin with Great News Media. God bless you. Have a great day and night.